But the Lord had other plans than that and sent us lots of ice, and so we had to cancel service. On your outline this morning, you'll notice it is dated December the 1st. That is because this message was supposed to be last week. But we'll look at it this week. Luke chapter 2, we're looking at getting Christmas right. Oftentimes we have the attitude that if we're going to get Christmas right, then we kind of have to get rid of all of the traditions that we celebrate, you know, take down the tree, get rid of the lights, get rid of all of those things. But remember, tradition in itself is not wrong. What is wrong is making tradition our authority. And it's a blessing to have traditions. I have wonderful memories during Christmas with my dad and my family, my wife and my children. Traditions are wonderful. But Christmas is not about the traditions. It's about the Savior. If we're going to get Christmas right, then we need to see Jesus in all of the traditions. And so we're going to look at gifts this morning. Gifts under the tree is the name of my message. And Luke chapter 2 helps us to understand that. Verse number 1, chapter 2, the Bible says, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Heavenly Father, help us, I pray, as we look at your word this morning. May you be glorified in our response. Lord, as we look at you through Scripture, the only proper response that we can have is to worship you. And Lord, may that be our attitude this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we are exactly 17 days away from Christmas this morning, and many of us are making sure that we have those perfect gifts, those right gifts for our loved ones. And gifts during the Christmas time, I think that tradition has come from the fact that the wise men brought gifts to Jesus, and really Jesus himself is a gift to mankind. And so when we are giving gifts, we ought to be reminded of the greatest gift of all. An American Express survey about Christmas gifts found that the fruitcake was chosen most often, this is 31%, from a list of the worst holiday gifts. Now, I personally like fruitcake, and I know people in my family that like it and others that do not. But in this survey, it even finished ahead of no gift at all. In fact, when asked how to dispose of a bad gift, 30% said they're going to hide it in the closet. 21% said they're going to just bring it back to the store. And 19% said that they're going to give it away to someone else. They're going to re-gift it. They're going to re-gift that fruitcake. I got a special gift for you. Now, if I get a whole bunch of fruitcakes for Christmas, I know what's going on, okay? I know the truth. 76% of all people said that when they go out shopping for a gift for someone, that they actually end up purchasing something for themselves. They forget about buying that gift. They buy something for themselves. Now, in the very first chapter of the book of Luke's gospel, we see the promise given to Mary that she would bring forth a son and his name would be Jesus. The Bible says in Luke 1, verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, we see in this passage of Scripture great significance of that babe in the manger. The Bible says that he is the Son of God. And without us understanding this morning the virgin birth, we never really appreciate the atoning work of the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for that unspeakable gift. And the Bible teaches us that when Mary took the Lord Jesus and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid Jesus in the manger, Jesus was God's gift to mankind. He wrapped that wonderful child and presented the Lord Jesus to all people. Now, I read a statistic in America that 33% of American homes will go out and they'll purchase a Christmas tree and put that Christmas tree in their home. I was recently walking by Canadian Tire and I noticed the price of Christmas trees. $60 for a tree that is already cut down. That is insane. $60. Many people are going to go out and they're going to purchase a tree and they're going to decorate that tree and they're going to put that tree in their house. But I want us to understand this morning that the greatest tree that we can consider is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was placed on a cross just outside of Jerusalem, and there he died for the sins of the world. And he gave his life so that we could have eternal life. And that's what we're going to notice this morning. We're going to notice God's perfect gift. Gifts under the tree. We're going to notice the gift of Jesus. Number one, let's think about this gift. And let's think about the presence of God. The presence of God. Now, the reason the angels and the shepherds rejoiced was because of that very presence of God. The Bible teaches us that he is the Son of God. Luke chapter 1, verse 32, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He is the Son of God, but also he is the living God. He was manifest in bodily form. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. It is just incredible to think when Mary held baby Jesus in her arms, she was holding the very Creator who placed every star in the sky. And the Bible says that God became a man and he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, John said, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the living God. He is the Son of God. But also, he is God with us. God with us. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. I heard the story of a woman who had left her husband, and the husband called the police and filed a missing person report. And a few weeks later, the police found her a few provinces over and asked him if he wanted them to take them to her. And by now, the husband had realized how awful he was as a husband, and decided that he was going to write his wife letters. And so he wrote his wife every single week. He wrote her a letter, a love letter, trying to convince her to come back to him. And by this time, there was no response to his letters. And so it was Christmas time, and he decided that he was going to see her. And so he came to where she was staying. It was a rundown hotel, and she was all alone and miserable. And he walked into that hotel, and he said to his wife, would you please come home with me? And she obliged. She came home. And as they were driving home, the husband said to his wife, listen, I've written you letters for months. Why didn't you come home? And she said, well, they were just letters. It wasn't until you came in person that I changed my mind. I'm glad that God came to us in our sinful condition. You know, that's how much God loves us. The Bible says he came to us. God is Emmanuel, God with us. Number two in our notes, let's think about this. The Bible teaches us about the peace of forgiveness. In fact, in our text in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let's think about the peace of forgiveness. You see, in these verses that I just read, the Bible teaches us that Jesus came to be our Savior. He came to save us from the penalty of sin. In fact, the word Savior that I just read in our text indicates that Jesus is our deliverer. The Bible says he's our Savior. He is the forgiving one. The forgiving one. I'm glad that God is a forgiving God. And Jesus is our Savior. He is the forgiving one. He is the deliverer. And the reality is, listen, forgiveness is the gift of God. The greatest need that all of us have is to be forgiven of our sin. And forgiveness is the greatest gift of all. Now, obviously, this time of year, there's a great emphasis on gifts, and people are talking about gifts. I heard the story of a little boy named Brian who asked his parents over and over again for a watch for Christmas. And all he talked about was a watch. He wanted a watch, and he asked his mom and dad for a watch. And he had asked his mom and dad for a watch so many times that his mom and dad said, Brian, you're not going to talk about a watch anymore. I don't want to hear that word watch anymore. You are done talking about watches. Brian was disappointed. He couldn't plead his case. He couldn't tell his mom and dad anymore what he wanted. And so one night at dinner time, he was asked to pray for the meal. And Brian said, Mom and Dad, before I pray for this meal, I would like to quote a Bible verse to you. And he said, Mark chapter 13, 37. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. Many times the focus during Christmas is gifts, and we need to understand that Jesus is God's gift to us. He's our gift. The Bible says in Matthew 1:21, and he shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I understand that you probably know this, but I want to just say it again. When Jesus was born, he was born to die. In fact, the Bible teaches us that they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Those swaddling clothes, they were grave clothes. Jesus was born to die. That was God's plan. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 20, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God, may be purchased with money. You know, the gift of God is absolutely free. You don't have to pay a dime for it. And the gift of God is not found in a denomination. It's not found in the waters of baptism. The gift of God is not found in our own merit or what we can accomplish in our life, but the gift of God is found in Jesus Christ. He is God's gift to us. You see, forgiveness is the key to peace. Our world is searching for peace. The Bible says that Jesus came to give peace. He is the peace giver. And the Bible teaches us that how we receive peace and God's peace is through having our sins forgiven. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You see, how we receive peace is through the Lord Jesus. In a recent campaign, Planned Parenthood created a Christmas card. And on that Christmas card, they wrote this, choice on earth. Choice on earth. And friend, I want you to understand that choice does not bring peace. Forgiveness brings peace. And the only way that we can have forgiveness for our sin is through the Lord Jesus Christ, to call upon his name and to ask him to save us. This Christmas card was given to Anna's pastor, written by Anna. She said this, dear pastor, thank you for this church and for your preaching. I know that you work very hard to do that stuff. We are very happy to have you here. This year, my dad learned not to drink and to smoke, how to be nice to me. Thank you, and God bless you. Love, Anna. I'm grateful for the forgiveness found in the Lord Jesus. I'm grateful for the change that God can give. Forgiveness brings peace, and forgiveness is available to all people. The message of the angel was this, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter the language you speak, the color of your skin. Hey, listen, the message of the cross is for everyone. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, friend, if our greatest need would have been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need would have been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need would have been money, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need would have been for entertainment, then God would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need is forgiveness. So God sent a Savior to wash our sins away. The greatest gift that we could ever have. Number three, the promise of eternal life. And I will be done. The promise of eternal life. He shall be great. Luke chapter 1 verse 32. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there shall be no end. Eternal life is available through Jesus Christ. It's interesting. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. And it reminds us that Jesus is the bread of life, born in that little town called Bethlehem. The Bible says in Acts 4 verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You see, friend, eternal life is God's gift to us. The Bible says this in John chapter 4 and verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Listen, Jesus wants to give you living water today. Has there been a time in your life where you have called upon the name of the Lord for salvation? And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. I came across a story of a collection of letters given by children written to Santa Claus. And one of the children said, dear Santa, you did not bring me anything good last year. You did not bring me anything good the year before. Santa, this is your last chance to get it right. I'm glad that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, that God only gives good gifts. And Jesus Christ is the greatest gift of all. You see, during this Christmas season, every time you receive a gift and every time you have opportunity to give a gift, if you want to get Christmas right, then you remember the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ coming to this world to die for us. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then friend, God brought you here this morning to get saved. This is your opportunity to place your faith and trust in Him. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the blessing of your word. And thank you for the Christmas story that we have, that we can read, that we can study and meditate. Lord, thank you for your salvation, the great gift that you provide to us. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us as we look to you this Christmas season to get Christmas right, to remember you, to remember that you are our wonderful Savior. Lord, I pray if there's an individual here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them, that they would call upon your name today, that they would get saved. I pray your blessing upon the boys and girls as they sing for us this morning. I pray that you would use them to be an encouragement and blessing to us. And Lord, we thank you again for all that you've done. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books together. The boys and girls will be getting ready to come up. We're going to sing 249, Just As I Am.